Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Chulin Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph at the bottom of the Amud, about to tackle the end of Mishnah Zayin and the final podcast in this, the longest parak in Masachet Chulin. Take a look back in the Mishnah and you will see that we, in the second half, the Simanim of Dagim, Kol Sheish No Stapir, which is a fin, V'Kaskeset Scales. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shnei Kaskasin V'Stapir, he needs two scales and a fin. Echad ve'elin kaskasin. What are the kaskasin? A kvuimbo. That's the things that are on it. Usni pirin aporech b'hen. That's the one that it swims with. Okay, we already knew that, and now we move in to the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Ein lo achshav atid legadel lacharzman. We had the same thing in the previous podcast with chagavim. If the fish does not have the simanim, but this type of fish eventually grows them. Gona sultanit va'afyan. These are little fish like sardines. Harei zem mutar. Yesh to achshav atid lahashiran rishasha oleh min hamayim. This led to some interesting controversies. If a fish has it, but then loses it when it comes out of the water, kigona akunas, faafunas, kastias, hachstafias, faatunas, harei ze mutar, it's also mutar. As long as it, and in its essential time in the sea, as mature a fish, it has it. Tanatam, kol sheishto kaskeset, yeshto snapir. We have this Mishnah, elsewhere, anywhere where there is a fin, that scales, then automatically it has fins. V'yesh, yesh to snapir, v'yesh to en lo kaskeset. Yesh to kaskeset, v'yesh to snapir, dag tahor. Yesh to snapir, en lo kaskeset, dag tamei. So we're saying that anytime it has scales, that's good enough. If it has a fin, it doesn't tell you anything. And if it has a fin and no scales, it's tamei, which means that the fins are absolutely unnecessary for information. Me'achtei kaskeset kasam chinan, since we only rely on the scales, v'yesh to rochana kaskeset, v'yesh to snapir, let the Torah just say kaskeset. The answer is Ikat of Rahmana Kaskeset will katav snapir, aviamena my kaskeset snapir. I might not have known which it was, and might have thought that the one demand is on the fins. If I feel the dag tameh, then I would have said even a dag tameh is okay as long as it has fins. Therefore the Torah told me both. But the problem is that that doesn't work, because I still have to know what the kaskeset is. The kaskeset just tells me there's two things, I don't know which is which. And if you're going to say the kaskeset is the main thing, how do I know that that's the garb, the garment, the male, as it were? Dichtiv is shiryon kaskasim hulavush. Goliath is wearing kaskasim. So back to our original question, which is that we already know what a kaskeset is. The Torah could have just said kaskeset. No way in the world would have thought it meant fins. The Torah went out of its way to say extra things to enhance the Torah, but really it was unnecessary for the information. It's a fallback position. You remember the two psukim, and they're both on the page. That come together about the fish, and the fish is the one case where we don't have any examples given. The Torah just says, this is what you eat that's in the rivers and the seas, anything that has fins and scales. And this is what you may not eat of what's in the rivers and the seas, that which does not have fins and scales. So now, first problem is, the Torah said you could eat that which has simanim, so obviously you can't eat that which does not have simanim. So obviously, I can eat that which does have it from the fact that I can't eat which doesn't have it. So why did the Torah say it twice? So there's an assay of eating the right thing, and a lotase, meaning if you eat a non-kosher fish, you violated a lotase, you also were over an isur assay of eating a fish without proper simanim. Now the Torah then says, "Tochlu mikol asher b'mayim." Matam lomar. What does it mean? You can eat anything in the water. Shiachol hoil v'hitir b'mfuraj v'hitir b'stam. We don't yet know what this means, but the Torah explicitly permitted it and permitted it implicitly. Mak shi'hitir b'mfuraj, just like when the Torah permitted it explicitly. Permitted what? We'll see. Lo hitir ala b'kelim. The Torah only permitted it if you're getting it out of a jug or something. I might have thought that the Torah only permitted, and what this means is drinking water and whatever comes out of the water is fine, even fish that have no simanim, that's only in vessels. How about if it's in a cistern or a cavern? You can lean over and drink, and whatever comes in your mouth is fine. Therefore, the Torah says, eat whatever's in the water. Now, let's see what this all means. Echani tibikilim, how do I know the Torah allowed you to drink anything that's in a kli? Dichtivet zatochlu mikol asher amayim. What did the Torah say? You can eat this kind of fish which is in the waters and the seas. The limitation of only eating fish that have simanim is only in the rivers and the seas. Habikilim, but if it's in a vessel, even though it has no simanim, you could eat it. So, why don't you say the opposite? Why don't you say the Torah only allowed you to eat fish that have simanim in the rivers and the seas, and even fish that have simanim, if they're in a kli, you can't eat them at all? So the answer is, lo sakadaitach, that would make no sense. The Torah says in the next pasuk, anything that does not have stamifikas keset in the waters and the seas, the rivers and the seas, you may not eat. There it says, if you don't have it, you can't eat it. Therefore, it's clear the Torah is saying that when it comes to kelim, there is no limitation. You can drink whatever's there and eat whatever's there when it comes with when you drink. Now, ve'ema, why don't I try the following? Bamayim klal. And if you take a look at the word b'mayim, it comes at the end of the pasuk twice. B'yamim uvan chalim prat, that's a specific. Klal prat em b'klal ol mashav prat, meaning, yamim uvan chalim im v'na'itzin v'charitzin lo. I'm going to try to even be more liberal and say the Torah only prohibited non-simand fish in rivers and seas, the prat, but not in little channels and inlets. The answer is, b'mayim chazar chalal. The reason that I can't be that liberal is because the Torah put the word mayim again, and so therefore I have two klalim, b'mayim, yamim chalim b'mayim, and therefore klal upadu klal, I have to say it has to be anything like a river, which would include also channels. Now, but the two klalim are next to each other. It's not klal prat klal, it's prat klal klal. When you ever find two general statements next to each other, what do? Hatel prat benam vedunem bechlal upadu klal. So what you do is you kind of move around as if the prat were in between them and judge them as a klal upadu klal. A little bit creative. We're going to see a limitation on that. So now what happens? B'mayim klal, b'mayim chalim prat, b'mayim chazar v'chalal, klal upadu klal, then a kind of prat. Therefore, what's the rule? My prat mefurash, what do we know about rivers and seas? Mayim novim, it's flowing waters. I've called mayim novim, therefore all flowing waters, even channels. My rabbi, so what's being included by this extra klal? Charitzin and ni'isin litzura, which means channels and inlets, which are flowing water, those are asur if the fish doesn't have simanim. Mayim yate, what's excluded? Barot shechinu me'arot. Meaning, if you find it in a cistern or some sitting water, then it's mutar, even if it doesn't have simanim. Ve'ema ma prat mefurash mayim delinu al kol agabe karka. Why don't I say it as follows? Why don't I say what I know about the prat is it's water that's on land. I've called mayim delinu al agabe karka, anything that's on land, including my rabbi, afilu borot shechinu me'arot lisura, which means even water that's in cisterns, if the fish are in there, they must have simanim. The only thing I knocked out was if you have water in a jug. So im kein tochlu my hanile. Then what did the word tochlu help us at all if already barot shechinu me'arot were asur? The only thing that was on the table was kelim as a possibility, and I needed the klal upadu klal to knock that out. Tochlu was unnecessary. Okay, now Rabbi Ishmael, who of course is the champion of klal uprat, does something very interesting here. Tana b'mayim b'mayim shtei pamim ein zeklal uprat el riba umiyud. Riba umiyud, of course, is from the school of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael's colleague, but opposite number. Rabbi Yishmael says, in this case, when you have the two klalim next to each other, we don't use the klal uprat system. We use riba umiyud, which, by the way, is far more expansive. And therefore, b'mayim riba, b'yamim chalim miyed, b'mayim chazar v'riba, what happens? Riba umiyud v'riba, riba akol. We include everything, and all waters, therefore, any fish found in any waters need to have simanim. My rabbi, charitzin and sin litzura. But he comes to the same place and he says, we've now included channels. My meat, what have we excluded? Barot shechinu me'arot leteira. Things that are found in cisterns and sitting water. So, aim my riba, barot shechinu me'arot litzura. My meat, me'et kelim. So, it's the same number, which is, maybe I should expand it to include even barot, and the only thing I cut out is vessels. The ankan, tochlu, my anile. Again, what do I need tochlu for if kelim were the only thing that was on the table there? Ve'epuchana, why don't I turn it around and say, I will include cisterns and not include channels? The answer is pretty easy. Getatani matatiyah, tani matatiyah by Yehuda. My ra'ita l'rabot paruchichim l'rabot l'heter. Why are we expansive with cisterns and say they're mutar? Hulot tzichar itzin itzin li'sura, but channels and inlets we count li'sura. Little rivulets. The answer is ma'abanim baruchichim l'rabot chain atzurim kechelim. Because cisterns are gathered water that are sitting in one place. Like kelim, which is the archetype of the mutar. As opposed to inlets that are flowing like rivers. Okay, so now back in the Braita, it said, since we have a satum and a mefurash, I would have thought, just like the satum only allows kelim, the furash only allows kelim, etc. I went from there. Hey satum ve mefurash. And we only have two psukim. There are psukim 3 and 4 on the page, which are the pasuk that allows us to eat fish from rivers that have fins and scales, and the next one that does not allow us to eat fish from rivers and seas that don't have fins and scales. So which one of them is satum? Chadama, we don't know who said what, but one of them said, Yesh lo mefurash, the first pasuk that says, if it has simanim, that's the explicit one. The emo satum, the second one is the implicit one. He says the opposite. Now let's see why. What's the reasoning of the first position? That's how we know kelim mutar, because it says that anything that's in the seas and rivers that has these simanim you can eat, implying that if you found it somewhere else you don't need those simanim. So my time and among them are eno mefurash. What's the other position? Because only the second pasuk that teaches us what the first one means. If I only have the first pasuk, number 3 on the page, in the case of kelim, even if it has simanim, as I mentioned in the previous amud, that was our havamina, that perhaps I can't eat it, even if it has simanim in kelim. Therefore, I need the second pasuk to tell me, no, kelim, I could eat it even if there are no simanim. So that's the mefurash. Okay, that's just in explaining the braita. It doesn't make any difference in the practical piece. Now, Amar Rav Huna, lo lishvi inish shichra betzaviata ba'orta. A person should not strain date mead at night over wood. Why? Dela parish la el mitzaviata. Maybe there'll be a worm in the dates that'll pop out, crawl on the wood, v'hada nafil akosa, and then it'll pop back in. Then it's going to be sheretz hasheretz al aretz because it was crawling on the ground. So yachab mananami, maybe even in the kli itself without straining it. Domparish the dafim demana v'adunafil amana, maybe it'll climb up the wall and fall back in, and then it was already crawling. The answer is hatam hainuvite, that's where it grows. That's not called sheretz hasheretz al aretz. Umanatem, how do I know that distinction that if it goes where it normally grows, then that's not called sheretz hasheretz al aretz? The tanya minayin there are both boroch yichinim arot yishon chev yishotem yan ve'inonim na. Again, as I had before, how do I know that you could drink out of cisterns and not worry what's in there? Tamalom ha'tochum mikol asher amayim. V'lechosh dem ha'paris l'dafna v'hadunafel. Why are I concerned that a creepy crawly jumped out onto the wall of the cistern and fell back in? Al-hanavita, that's how they grow, so that's considered in their original spot. Okay, Amar Rav Chista Rav Huna. Rav Chista said the following: Tanya Masayalach, I'll support your halacha from the Braita. Kol Asheret Hasheretz Al Aretz, the Rabot Yavchushin Sisinanan. That's there to even include little bugs that you strained. Tom at a sinanan, but it's only because you strained them. Halo sinanan shari. But if you didn't strain them, they're mutter because they're in their original place where they grew. Amar Shmuel, kishuchit liah. If you have a cucumber that got wormy, be'ibeha, and it got wormy while it was in the ground, asura mishum asheretz hasheretz al aretz. Even though it's where it originally grew, you still violate sheretz for eating it. Now, le masayei ale, perhaps we have support for Shmuel, the tani chada. We have a sheretz hasheretz al aretz. One braita says, al aretz is lotziat hazizin shevad hashim. That excludes little bugs that are in lentils, v'tayitushim shevad klisim, or little gnats that are in things that grow, v'tolat shevad tmarim, and worms that are in dates, v'shevad gorgorot, and figs. Now, that means those things are not asur. V'tanya idach, we have another braita says, kol sheretz hasheretz al aretz l'rabot. This includes tolat shevad krezei tim shevad krei kfanim, worms that are at the root of olive trees and vines. My love, idi vidi bepeira. For a minute, I think that both of these are talking about in the fruit itself. Veha bi beha, veha shelo bi beha. When it's in the ground, it's asur. When it's not in the ground anymore, then it's mutar, which supports Shmuel. Lo, idi vidi bebeha. Both brightot are talking about when it's in the ground. Velokasha ha bepeira. If it's in the fruit, then it's mutar. Ha bi ilana gufa. But if it's in the tree, then it's asur. Because in the Brayta that talked about the Isur, it said that it's in the root, meaning in the tree itself, of the olive or the vine. Shma mina. Kibar of Yosef. So now Yosef asks three questions. Rav Ashi asks three follow-up questions about this woman that's in the fruit. Remember, it has to crawl on the ground to be Asur. So Pershau Meitama, what if it left the fruit and it died? Miktsatama, what if only a little bit came out? Lavir Holama, what if it only came out in the air and not on the ground? Teku, the answer is we don't have a solution. Bar Rav Ashi, he asked further, Lagag Tora, what if it crawled out and went on top of the date? Mahu. Lagag Gariatama, what if it went on top of the seed? Mitra Tama, what if it went from one date to another, never touching the ground? Teku. Okay, Rav Shesh Bered Rav Idi, Kukiani Asiri, Maitama, these are parasites. Why are parasites asir? Me'almatu, because they come from outside the animal into the animal. Ravashi, if they come from the outside, they should come in through the rectum, and they're not found there. So Ikaram Rav Shesh Bered Rav Idi, there's another version that says Kukiani Sharu, the parasites are mutter. Maitama mine gavli, because they grow inside the animal. Ravashi Pshita, the Mi'almaka, he says, you're right, because the Mi'almakatu, if they came from the outside, the Shachu Derech Beitari, so it became a challenge now with support, you would find it near the rectum, and you don't, and therefore they must be grown inside. But the Hilchata Kukiani Asiri, we take the first position, which is their Asur, and how do we respond to Rav Ashi's challenge? Maitama Menam Naim, the animal's sleeping, they come in through the nostrils, and that's why they're in the upper part of the body. Now Dani the Bistra, maggots of flesh, of animals, are Asiri, but the Kavri of fish are Sharyan. We'll see why in a minute. I'm a Ravina the Ime, but Ravina subscribe to this because he told his mother, Avalivana Echol, take them fish maggots and cover them up because they make disgusting, but they're not usher, and I'll eat them. Remember, Shashaya Bredu of Achal Ravina, Maisha Mehaditanya of Nivlatam Tishaketsu, Bota Dadranim Sheba Behema, of a Pasuk that you should make this Nivela disgusting, like to reject it, and that includes the maggots of an animal. Why is an animal different than a fish? He asked Ravina, because Ravina would eat the maggots of the fish. Me'achiyashta behema is a very brilliant answer. Behema b'shchita hu d'mishtari. How is a behema made mutar? B'shchita. V'hani mid'lokam mahani l'hu shchita. You don't shecht maggots. B'suraya kaimin. They're part of the animal. The animal's asur in its life. Shchita is mat to the animal. Shchita is not mat to the maggots. Aval dagim basifa ba'alma mishtari. This goes way back earlier in the Masachet. The fish just have to be gathered. V'hani kiko gavlan b'terika gavlan. Therefore, when they grow inside of the fish, they're growing b'heter. A fish is not inherently usur. An animal is. Tanar banan holech al gachon. When the Torah talks about kol holech al gachon, anything that creeps on its stomach. Zenachash. Kol holech al gachon rabot ha-shilshul. V'yatadomele shilshul. These little earthworms. Al arba. Anything that walks on four. Ze'akra. That's a scorpion. Anything like a beetle. Marberaglaim, what's that? Zemnadal, it's like a centipede. Adko marberaglaim, anything like a centipede or anything similar to that which is like a centipede. Last piece. Tanya Biosev endure mosquitomer. What did he say? Leviathan dag tahorhu. The Leviathan is tahor. Shinemar Gava Afike Maginim, in describing the Leviathan in E at the end of Eov, in the beautiful description of creation, says he has protection, that's the scales, and Tachtav Chadudei Charis, he has little potsherds that guide him, that's the fins. Afike Maginim Elkaska Simshabo, Tachtav Chadudei Charis, Elus Napirin Sheporeach Bayan, Hadranalach Elu Trifot. That brings us to the end of our parak. Yetzer Hashem, in the next podcast, we'll begin the fourth parak, Behimah Mekashah Leleid. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.